be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Hide it in our heart that we may not sin against you. Amen. It's an incredible verse. Most of us don't read them a lot in these smaller epistle letters, 2 Peter being one of them, but just some of the most powerful verses in all the New Testament, familiar to a lot of us. So 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. A lot in that verse. It means that God has already given you grace to know him, right? We appropriate the grace to know him. He's already given. So when you see, that's in a lot of, even in Paul's letters, when it said grace and peace to you, that's just not like, hey, how are you doing? You know, that really means it's like a spoken word for something for you to receive. Like when they're saying grace and peace, that means receive it. And that was just in their world, especially in the Jewish world. It was a blessing, and you received it. Anyway, seeing that his divine power has already, or his divine ability has already granted to you, or to us, that's everything pertaining to life and godliness already. Through the true knowledge of him who called us, in some translations by his, but actually it's to his, who called us to experience his glory and his virtue, his excellence, which means actually his character. I read again that his divine power has already granted to you as a believer everything you need that pertains to life and that pertains to godliness. There's nothing else you need. You already have it. But here's how you get it. Through the true knowledge of him, through this intimate knowledge of him, who called you to experience his glory, his life, and his very virtue, his very character. Okay? And by these, he has granted, for by these, which means through which, he has granted to you already his precious and magnificent promises, so that by these awesome promises, you may become partakers of his divine nature. Well, aren't you already partaker of divine nature? Yes. But it's through his promises, through what he's telling you, that's how you appropriate it, right? When you know that, oh, wait a minute, in this, when Jesus said, I won't leave you as orphans, but we're going to come, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to indwell you. We're going to make our home with you. That's a promise from the Lord. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's right, you know. So it's important to that we're just constantly presenting ourselves with his promises, that by them you're partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption or the decay that's in the world by sinful desire. Okay? You've escaped that in Christ. Now it says, now for this reason, also I'll read these few verses to you, then we'll come back. For this reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. And it says, for if these qualities are already yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of God. And these qualities, it says, for if these qualities are yours, actual translation is, these things that you already have are in you. Okay? So let's go back. Now, for this reason, applying all diligence. All right? And that word applying, you think, well, that word's everywhere in the New Testament. Actually, this is the only place in the New Testament where this word applying is. And what it means is, it's taken from two words where we get the word paraclete or the Holy Spirit, which means close beside. It really means close beside, bring into being, right? To apply this means make it real to you and very in a very deep and personal way. All diligence. And that word diligence means to move quickly, or that word is actually the word to haste, right? Do this quickly. Apply this in your life, right? Make it real to you. And in your faith, it says supply moral excellence. That word supply means just to appropriate, okay? In your faith, you need to appropriate his moral excellence, okay? Being that apart from Christ just gives us the understanding that you don't have any apart from him. Right? That you don't have godly characteristics or godly traits or virtue or excellence, which we're really missing in this in our world today, especially with the young people, right? But by faith, appropriate His character is what it's saying. The very character of Jesus. Okay? As you appropriate in the very character of Jesus, it says, the next one is in your moral excellence knowledge. And these things aren't like stacking on each other. That means in the realm of, like, as you appropriate His character, you also appropriate the true knowledge of Him. As you're walking in this, you're walking in the true knowledge of who He really is. And as you're walking in the knowledge of who He really is, it says the next one is self-control, right? Because remember it said if these qualities are ours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Him. Okay? So these things are important. I always go back to them and kind of read, and I'm like, oh Lord, I don't fully understand how all this works together, but I know it's talking about if I already have all of these things, what it's really telling me to is now appropriate by faith these things. All right? So as I'm growing in knowing that I need desperately His character, His godliness in my daily life, right? I'm growing in the true knowledge of who He really is. It says if I'm growing in the knowledge of who He really is, then there's this thing called self-control, which actually means to be Spirit-controlled, right? Which is a fruit of the Spirit, right? If you go to Galatians, read the fruit of the Spirit. The very last one, number 9, is self-control, right? And it just goes along with everything that we're taught in the New Testament, that sin no longer is master over you, but you're master over it, right? You're under the realm of grace now. And so in every area or any area of your life, you can apply being Spirit-controlled. Okay? All right, and in your Spirit-controlled or self-control, perseverance. Okay? Another realm. So as you're doing this in perseverance, godliness, or actually means a godly response. As you're having to persevere through something, then appropriate a godly response. Okay? And sometimes that's the hardest thing when you're trying to endure, persevere in something, your responses, especially to those around you. You know, because if it's a hard thing for you, your response immediately wants to be to snap at somebody, right? But what it's telling you to, right here, by faith, appropriate a godly response. Okay? Which means sometimes you need to be quiet and take a step back. How do I need to respond in this situation? Because I just really want to take that person's head off, you know? That's the way I feel. Right? But you already have everything pertaining to life and godliness, is what he's telling you. Now, by faith, appropriate it. Let it be yours. Do this quickly. Make it something very intimate and deep to you. And in your godliness, your godly response, kindness. Right? That's where we are. What does a godly response look like? Kindness. Right? There's a lot of scripture. If you ever want to do a word study on that, it's really cool. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Right? Everything, that's the first thing of the fruit of the Spirit. That's kind of how we respond. You know, walk in love, walk in the joy. Walk in peace. Well, how does it look like when I open my mouth? Kindness. And in Proverbs it says, bind kindness around your neck. And what's desired in man, another proverb says, kindness. All right? God is kind. Jesus is kind. Right? He has kind responses to other people. Okay? And sadly, I have done it. You know, of course, I've stumbled through that myself many times. But I was just reading something in written back in the 50s, and these guys were saying about how, sadly, that this person was saying, you know, when I hire people to do this particular work at my house, I never hire Christians. He said, because Christians do the worst job, you know. And he said, I hire people who are non-Christians. What he found, in other words, what the guy was saying is that's just a poor testimony. And it's a poor testimony of us out in the world. You know, we go into places like, and I've been around, you know, Christian guys. You're in a restaurant, we're all eating after some conference, and they're just rude to waiters and waitresses. You know, like, wait a minute. Not what it's supposed to look like, you know. You're not here to be served in this life, but to serve and to have a godly response. What's a godly response look like? Kindness, right? You already have it. You're not something you got to drum up or, you know, gosh, I wish I was more kind. Scripture says you have all the kindness you'll ever need because Jesus is in you, right? And so by faith, we appropriate this. And in our brotherly kindness and everything, love. Love covers a multitude of sins, and love never fails, right? And that's how our response has got to be, right? Covers a multitude of sins, never fails. And each one of you, and I use this reference a lot, well, not a reference, kind of a visual image, that we all have, we all carry around this blanket, right? And this blanket that we have is, say, we'll call it love. And within that love blanket is forgiveness. Everything that makes up love. Unconditional love is forgiveness, mercy, grace, right? And you have the choice whether to throw that over somebody or not. Blanket them, cover them, right? And when you have to walk people through forgiveness, well, this person done all these things in my life. I said, well, you're a believer. Throw the blanket over them. Forgive them. Love them. Well, you don't know yet. It doesn't matter. You know, guess what? God threw his blanket over you. He forgave you of everything you have ever done or will ever do. Right? And that's what it's all based on. So, it says if these characteristics are yours and they should be increasing, you'll never be unfruitful in the actual true knowledge of who he really is. Right? But if you lack these qualities, it says you're blind and short-sighted and you've forgotten everything that's happened to you. It says the purification of your... You forgot what God did to you. Right? So if I see in my life these things are not there, I got to always take it, oh, got to remember, Jesus, what you did for me and who you are. Right? So that's cool to know that everything that pertains to life and godliness, you already have it. And the real simple thing he could say here is now by faith appropriate it. And this is what it looks like. Amen? All right. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.